it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
And boom. What's up, what's up, what's up? And welcome back again to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing a dream. I am your host, the maniacal menace, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. How y'all doing today? How y'all doing? Oh, today we have a special guest. Special guest. All my guests are special, and I love them all. The teacher, the lovable, the Miss Sensitive herself. Oh, we got good old Catchy Chibweze.
Hi, everyone.
Hey,
good
Catchy.
Afternoon.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
Oh, good. Good to see you, Catchy.
Yes.
This is. We've had a nice little journey.
Yes, we have.
We had a nice little journey just to get here. We've been rejected a few times.
Yes, we have.
Ejected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's fine.
That's fine, though. I mean, just this is part of the adventures. First, we went to the Starbucks and we realized that the.
No, that's not the first place we went.
No, we sure didn't.
We tried to go to Baldwin and Company.
Right.
A black-owned coffee shop here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And, you know, they close at 3.
At 3.
Yeah, they do.
They close at 3. On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. Why? Yep. What is it so weird that it's closed at 3?
Because they need a break.
Okay, that's understandable. but these weird, there's some strange hours, I guess.
No.
It seems like you, from 6 to 3,
yeah.
I think that's the times, 6 to 3.
Yeah.
And then I guess that's peak hours for coffee.
That's a 9-hour shift. And
yeah.
It is peak hours for coffee. So, I mean, like, people don't drink coffee, you know, in the afternoons unless they are trying to go
that's
to the bathroom.
That's true. That is true. I have done that a few times. Mm-hmm. And then
we sauntered on over to
right,
the Starbucks.
To the Starbucks. Well, you ran into some colleagues from work.
Yes, I, because it's our last days of school. We don't
have
kids. Yes. I'm in celebration mode, but at the same time, I have to work until Wednesday. But today, I said, you know what? I got nothing to do. I'm just staring at myself, you know, in the classroom. So I decided, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to sneak on out and do this podcast real quick. And I got caught by fellow teachers. Who were also sneaking out. So there we go. That
hilarious.
Happened. And then we went to Starbucks.
Starbucks was the next stop on the mm-hmm. on the venture on to begin the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
And we got there. What is this drink that you have?
I have a passion fruit mango lemonade.
It looks very refreshing.
It is.
Wow.
Extremely refreshing.
That is a good drink to have.
It is. However, you know, they got these passion fruit bits, which makes you feel like it's fancy and stuff, but they're freeze-dried, and they're still like you taste them, and they're crunchy.
Yeah. Oh.
Which you think is real passion fruit.
Ain't no passion in that fruit right
there.
No, just cold heartedness.
So it's delicious tasting. It is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that away from it. And which pleasantly surprised me because I don't do Starbucks at all.
Yeah, me neither. My thing whenever I go to a coffee shop is I get a matcha latte.
Yes.
And I first discovered matcha lattes in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I don't know why I decided to get one, but it just sounded different. Oh, because I thought it was a macchiato. Because of Talladega Nights.
Oh.
The Battle of Ricky Bobby. Yeah. I was like, Mickey, macchiato, matcha latte, same thing, right?
Yes.
It's not.
No, it's not.
But I was like, hey, once I came across it, I was like, oh, this is delicious.
It was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. And I like the way it made me feel. I was like, it makes me feel nice inside. And like, I had no idea it would give me that type of euphoric feeling.
What?
Yeah.
I've never had one, but the way you're describing it, mm-hmm. it makes me feel like I should get one, but I shouldn't get it from Starbucks.
No. Starbucks, there's taste too much like the powder. Like other places you can taste, I guess they're using powder as well, but you don't taste the powder as much.
Yeah.
And it's, some of them have more of a sweeter taste, some of them don't have a sweeter taste at all, but it's smooth, it's not as chalky when you taste it. But matcha latte, I was like, I enjoyed it. It's a tea leaf instead of just the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, and it's the caffeine boost that I'm getting from it. It makes it feel like I've had like just a a tiny bit of mushrooms. Just a tiny, like a microdose of mushrooms. It's like, this is a good feeling.
Okay, you know what, random? Okay, I should not be confessing this, but I will.
Okay.
Okay, so like, why is it the other day I was considering like doing a little bit of mushroom. I was considering, I'm too scared to.
That opened the mind right there. A little bit will probably just, it's like, depending on what your little bit is, it'll probably just make you feel like, okay. But just curious. It'll make you feel curious about what's going to happen, but not really give you a full effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to try, and that's what it was. So they happened to be, someone had happened to offer, and I was like, should I? And I was like, I shouldn't.
It's a fun experience. It's a fun experience.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And maybe one day when I don't have to teach.
It's more of an organic experience, too. And that's like, that's when you're going vegan on your drugs. It's like, I could definitely.
You do mushrooms.
I could definitely,
That's the way to go.
Because acid's the same way. Acid's the same way, but it's different. You get the body high, but it's not the body high. You know it. That's strictly mental when it's coming with acid. It's not for everybody. Because oh boy, I've seen some people who's like, oh, you still in that realm.
Oh no.
Yeah, you haven't left that realm at all.
It just doesn't sound
it's the weak minded though.
It doesn't sound appealing. When you call it acid, it just feels like it's going to eat up my insides, and I'm just like, no thank you.
Hey, that's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
LSD sounds a little more calming. Lucy is that sounds like, oh, this is gonna make me float somewhere, huh?
When you think of Lucy, because I mean it's a drug, so I'm thinking Lucy, I'm thinking of the nickname of the devil, so you're like, you want a little Lucy, and I was like, oh, you want to Lucy send does. Me to hell? Yeah, no thank you.
Okay. you'll definitely see some demons on that.
Okay.
On some Lucy,
so
they're depending.
I'm on the right track with that. Okay.
Yeah, depending on where your mind state is at. You always got, whenever you do any type of psychedelic, you always want your space to be representative of what you want to feel like whenever you're about to trip. Like, so whenever I do trip, whenever I know I'm not about to have a party trip, meaning that it's just going to be a little dose and I'll be interacting with other people. Whenever I do a little heavier dose of something, I'll be at the house. But if I'm going to be there, I'll clean up before.
I'll tidy the fuck up.
I can't be in, because it'll fuck your mind. It'll fuck with your head because you don't want to be in filth as you're trying to, like, cleanse yourself. I look at it as a cleansing.
I look at me now
because I've looked into it a lot. Not saying that I read shit. I just listen to a lot of people and I take in their experiences and I do my own research with that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is how I would prefer to take this drug. So whenever it comes to like psychedelics or something like that, I like to have my own space in my own room, and then make sure that everything's clean, have my music set up, have my blunts rolled, and have everything to where it's just bop, 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 bop. And then I watch something trippy as fuck. And I cry.
And you cry?
Yes.
I have never. Oh, you know what just reminds me of? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the time when I first started doing stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And then
how long ago was that?
It would be 4 years. Oh, my gosh. It would be 4 years in July.
Ah, you passed the threshold.
Yeah. What's the threshold?
The threshold is the 3-year mark.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
1 year is like, maybe this is a fluke. 2 years is like, okay. And 3 years is like, oh, I'm going to do this for real. And now you're at the 4 years and you didn't quit yet. And it's like, all right, the wheels keep going after that.
That's what's up. Well, the thing is, I mean, do I count last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
You still did Zoom shows and you were creative, right?
Yep, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, 4 years. But I never forget when I first started and I went to one of your, what's it called? That's at Bar Redux?
Spontaneous show?
Yeah, the spontaneous show. You guys were selling cookies.
Yeah.
And I never forget. This is when I had only
the clown came in with the cookies.
Yes, yes. And so I'd only had a cookie once, like maybe a month before. That was my very first time at like the age of 34. dabbling in like the devil's lettuce.
Wait. That was the first time dabbling in any type of for Mary Jane.
Yes.
It was edible?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a fresh body to that.
Yeah. To that. I'm not gonna mention the person's name, but someone we know was selling cookies. Was selling cookies.
Yes.
And he had said they were going to be the money was going to be donated to Hurricane Harvey. And I was like, well, this is for a good cause.
So man, you really need to add that extra detail in there before you just, because everybody's going to buy that. It's for a good cause. Oh, I'm going to buy five of them.
Yeah, exactly. So I bought one and I ate it and then I went to a drag show. That was like one of the best decisions I had ever made in my life. I had so much fun that night. But that's not the point. The point is, I was like, oh, that was a great time. And then you guys were selling cookies. So I was like, I'm buying a cookie. And then it was you and Paul Joseph. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I was like, I would like to buy a cookie, please. And then you all were like, I remember you looked at me sideways like, yeah, you buying a cookie?
You better
get out of here.
Thought you understood what type of cookie. I had no idea.
And I'll never forget, because Paul Joseph, I remember he gave it to me and he was like, remember, only take half. Don't eat the whole cookie. And I remember like being like, whatever. Don't worry about this. I got this. I'm fat. This is not going to be that bad.
You always worry about the people that be like, man, I'm all right. I do. And it's like, oh, okay.
I'll never forget. Because like, then I ate that whole cookie. I should have listened to y'all. Because I remember I was just out there. I remember in slow motion, just looking at my hands and being like, oh, no.
This is about to be a problem.
I remember I messaged you, and I had messaged Paul Joseph.
Yeah, you did.
I did, and I was like, oh, what was in that cookie?
I was like, oh, shit.
and then Paul Joseph, I remember he was sweet enough to call, and I guess he wanted to talk me through the high.
Yeah.
And I just remember telling him random things like, you know, people have not informed the rest of the world that fries and honey mustard are delicious together. Why has no one said anything about this? Why are they keeping it a secret? Why are they oppressing the honey mustard? And he's just like, yeah, that's something you need to, you know, unpack. Like, he was just there.
That sounds like Paul. Yeah.
He was just there to be supportive of whatever I had to say.
Yeah.
And so that was so sweet of him.
And oh, good, good old Paul.
I remember y'all laughing at me the next day, and I was like, you know what? I deserved.
Had no idea. I thought it was like, usually when people, I didn't know it was your first time. And I was
it
like,
wasn't my second time, excuse me.
It's always crazy because I was like, man, when they started dabbling in weed,
yeah.
I don't know. Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you jump into the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not just, you know, coming off with a bowl here, maybe a joint there. No. No, we're going to take a cookie. And then not the half a cookie, not a piece of the cookie. We're going to do the entire cookie. Entire cookie.
Because I was like, I'm getting some like that.
Oh, my God.
You don't know what my stomach can take.
Yeah. You don't until you don't know what them cookies can do.
Until
everybody was calling back. It was like, yo, them fucking cookies. when the clown was giving them out, he was like, hey, man, be careful. Be careful. And then you came. He was like, I'm going to give you one of them cookies. And I was like, nah.
See,
yeah,
everyone,
okay.
Everyone be underestimating me, but they had every right to.
Yeah. certain people say that some shit is strong, certain people, not everybody.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know a motherfucker, and then you'll be like, yeah, man, this shit strong, man, whatever, I don't know you.
Yeah.
But certain people was like, oh, we know you.
Yeah.
Oh, you're strong? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Then motherfuckers hit me up, yo, them fucking cookies were strong. I was like, man, I wish I could get high off of edibles.
Oh, you can't?
No, man, this shit pisses me off. I can't at all.
Oh, my word, I am so sorry.
Yeah, when I first got on edibles, when I first used to make them and shit, I'd be able to get high and all that.
I guess you gained a tolerance and stuff?
I guess. I want to say that's what it is. It might be because I have a high metabolism and I'm small.
Oh, my God. Okay,
I'm not really sure. Yeah, I get really upset. Because I spend so much money. I'm like, oh, these cookies are great. But basically, you know, I eat three of them. And basically, I just ate three cookies.
Oh, my God. I'd be so upset, sir.
Nothing happens. Nothing happens.
So
I sleep good. I sleep real good. That's it.
That's
if I go to sleep, though.
That's fair. But I will say, that's what I was thankful for, edibles during the pandemic, just because, like, I wasn't doing any, it made time pass by.
Yeah.
It also slowed down at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it just got me through, because then I blinked, and then I was like, wait, because I remember in March, I was like, okay, we're going to be out of here in, you know, a few weeks, and I blinked, and I'm like, oh, crap, it's July. Like, and I feel like that's the best way to have passed through the pandemic, just
yeah.
like blink, and
yeah,
know, pass on
that
by.
Is a way to go. I made a day pass like that by a friend gave me a Klonopin. A friend gave me a Klonopin, and, all right, well, so, basically, a Klonopin is, it's like, you know what? I couldn't even. I know what it's for, but I forget. I guess for people with like high anxiety or something like that. I'm not really sure. But it's supposed to calm you the fuck down or put you on some other type of level. And he takes prescribed Klonopins. And I'm like, all right, you know, he's like, man, I'll be on these all day. It make work go by like it ain't nothing. And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. You know, I smoke. You know, that's what I do. I get high. These fucking Klonopins ain't gonna do shit to me. You know, he take like four of them.
What?
And I'm like, whatever. You know, and so he give me one of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, and so I take that one that morning, and then we get to work. And as we get to work, I remember taking a ladder out.
Okay.
Right? I remember taking a ladder out, setting it up, and then blinking, and then being on top the ladder, and then blinking again.
Oh my God.
And this nigga being like, yo, fuck you been, man? I'm like, what you mean?
Oh my God.
He was like, son, it's time to go. I'm like, it's time to go? He's like, man, I've been looking for you all day, son. I was like, I've been on this ladder all day, son. He was like, did we go to lunch? He was like, dude, you don't remember lunch?
Oh my God.
I swear, I blinked three times, nigga, I'm on this ladder. And it's time to go. I don't remember doing a damn thing.
That's hilarious.
I was like, son, you take four of these?
Oh my God.
No, dude. How you take four of them? I took one and I don't remember the day, my nigga. Like, what?
That is crazy.
What are we doing? I was like, never again. No.
Yo, you would never do that again?
Fuck no. No, not that shit. I didn't like that at all. I was like, I don't know where the day went. And I don't remember doing anything.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. And just to be like, I swear, I blinked and I'm just on the ladder. I'm like, I don't even remember getting up here. And it's a 12-foot ladder. I'm high. I'm all the way up on the ladder.
I don't know. First of all, can I tell you, God bless you. Because ladders, they give me so much anxiety. Like, I can only get to the second step and I'm like, nope, I'm coming down. I'm good. Thank you. And so when people have ladders for work and you just be scaling up those ladders all easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Yeah. At this new job that we're at, we have there's new ladders, and basically I've never seen these ladders before. These ladders are something new. There's a platform at the top of them.
Okay.
Usually you got an 8-foot ladder, and the 8-foot ladder is 8 rungs all the way to the top. You don't step on the last 2 rungs. These ladders is 8 rungs all the way to the top, but at the top, it's a fucking platform that comes down. So you step into the ladder, and you're just on top the platform. It makes it a lot safer, but if you used to just normal ladders, usually you're at 3 points of contact, meaning that you got 2 feet, 1 hand on there, mostly at all times, 3 points of contact, whenever you're climbing a ladder.
Okay.
With this platform area, usually you climb up one hand after the other. Well, there's a space now, so whenever you're coming down, you're hoping to grab those last 2 steps, and they're not there.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you lean back and you go to grab those steps, they're not there. You falling at least a good 4 feet to the ground, and it's so frightening.
That would scare me.
I'm like, fuck these new ladders. I don't like them. I don't like these new ladders at all. They're a problem. It's something I gotta get used to.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. Like comedy is difficult because you just mentioned to me that you're still basically trying to find your voice.
Yeah.
On stage.
I would say that. I'm trying to find the voice that
you're comfortable.
Not that I'm comfortable with, but yes, I do want to be comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I want to know that I feel like it's not connecting yet, where as soon as I step on stage, the audience knows who I am from the first sentence I say. You know, like everything matches together, like the styling, like the appearance, what I say, and they're like ready to get on board with me, whatever story I'm trying to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not there yet. But yeah. It's something you just work on. And yeah. It's fun. The journey is fun.
Like, the journey is fun.
Yeah. I'm enjoying that.
Very fun time. This what brings me down here once again. Can't get away from this city at all.
Yeah, no.
Once again, headed to Mandeville tonight for the show with Corey, Jeff D, Geneva, Ina, mm-hmm. and Ms. McLean's Pizzeria. There we go. I got it. Yeah.
You got it.
It doesn't matter. This comes out all late anyway.
Yeah.
But it dates the time of when we were there.
We were. But I have to say I'm biased. I just like doing comedy in New Orleans. Anytime I go out of town, I always make sure to hit up the scene there, like do an open mm-hmm. mic or even a show. And every single time, I'm always like, nah, I need to go back to New Orleans.
Yeah. That's where I prefer to like actually like practice sets. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because everywhere else, I'm like, nah, y'all about to get the bangers. I'm not about to.
Yeah,
I'm not about to fuck around. Like,
because
y'all don't know me, and automatically I'm trying to make a statement and I'm trying to jump the line. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to start from this little bottom up mm-hmm. like I ain't been doing this.
Yeah.
So when I go certain places out there, mm-hmm. I hit the mics up and I'm like, oh, y'all about to get these six nuggets, okay? Like, because everybody likes six nuggets. And so once I establish myself that way, mm-hmm. then I go ahead and I start weaning in the other jokes slowly.
You got to build your credit, basically, as a comedian. Like, mm-hmm. when you go to a new place, you don't have any credit, so you got to build it up.
Right.
And so they need to know, oh, like, they're good, so you got to listen.
Yeah, that's exactly. And the city out there, the scene out there, it's like you see people doing things, and it's like, God damn it, how did you get there? But then it's like, oh, if I would have had this here, down in New Orleans, the opportunity mm-hmm. that they have out there.
What's out there?
They have comedy clubs out there.
Oh, wait, what's out there?
I guess more comedy.
No, I mean as in the city.
Oh, the city of Houston?
Okay.
Yeah, out in Houston.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, like, out in Houston, if it's like how... If I would be out there, I would be out in Houston more the way I put in the time that I did down here because they have the clubs and such, mm-hmm. I probably would be at a different, I guess, stage of comedy. But right now, it's just like, all right, you got all this material, now what? It's like, you know, because it got me to where I can travel with it and do well.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just like,
you want a place where you can, like, get more stuff.
Yeah. To be able to, you know, be booked with comics that come in and all that, you know.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
But the thing is, I feel like I'm your more than, like, I feel like in time it will come. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm not worried about you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Nah.
I'm not worried about you. It would be fun. But I understand why you're impatient. You would like to happen like yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because just for the fact that it feels as if being down here, I put in the time,
mm-hmm.
but that time did not suffice for anything.
Don't say that.
I know. I'm just saying that, like, when I go other places, it's like, oh, damn. If I was here, this could have happened, and such could have went down.
Oh.
Or if I was there, and then, you know, so I just beat myself up too much about things that I do. And I've been talking to Kamari about it.
Oh.
He's like he's my therapist, basically.
Oh.
He don't know it, but he'll probably find out if he listens to this stuff. I talked to Kamari, and Kamari calmed me down. He's like, nigga, you do a lot. And he's like, are you sure?
I feel like you guys, that's just the pain of the artist, like, everybody else, it's interesting because, like, you feel like you're doing the bare minimum,
mm-hmm.
but everybody else will be like, you do so much. You'd be like, I haven't even scratched the surface. What are you talking about?
Oh.
And so I feel like we just need to be kinder to ourselves when it comes to this journey.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that we're doing, I mean, as long as we're showing up, I mean, like, there's going to be just time periods where you just show up and that's all you can do.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, a creative wave hits you and then you just go ahead and spurt that out. And then once
like
that happened, cool. And then you go on to the next one. And then you just have to show up for a while until that creative spurt comes back again. See, I was talking about this with Marcus Bond the other day.
Yeah,
because like he's kind of like in a he's not in a, I'm lying. He's not in a but you know, he just wants things to happen, and you know, he's like, I need to be writing more, and I'm like, there's times
he's
in
still
life.
On that. Ah,
and it's like there's times in life you're not gonna, you, it's not writing. You just need to experience. You need to sit back and just
live
listen.
Mm-hmm.
Like live life and listen, and then from there, because like it's cute if you're writing stuff, but is it stuff that people can relate to?
Right.
Is it stuff that is actually gonna be meaningful to a crowd? And you can't do that without living your life authentically first.
Right.
So it's all good. We just have to be patient with our stuff. That's all.
Ah, I hope people are taking notes. Oh, that's good.
Am I dropping truth bombs, if you will?
You got a little knowledge happening in here.
Okay,
fair enough. You got a little knowledge, put a little hash mark next to the notes, man.
Yeah, but you know. I mean, I say all this, but I don't practice what I preach. Like,
it's easy to preach it, though.
Yeah,
it's easy to preach it, and that's good. Like, it's, somebody's going to do it.
Yeah.
It's going to motivate somebody to get up and going. Like, this motivates me to get up and go, and it's like, oh, I can approach it that way.
Yeah.
You know, it gives me a different look. You know, I always tell people, it's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah,
it's like,
oh,
that's how you skinning it? Hold on. I want to try that way now.
Yeah.
I want to try that way. That look like an easy way.
And if it doesn't fit your way, you'd be like, you know, you just keep trying new things until something works for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then this is kind of veering off topic just a tiny bit.
Uh-huh.
But like, that's one good, thing though. That I've been realizing is like I've been very... I'm anxiety driven when it comes to like putting myself out there and like failing,
because
you just want to do it. You don't want to, like, I'd be like, I don't want to do this because I already know like it's gonna tumble down and it's gonna be a hot mess and I'm gonna have to come into my hole and cry about my failure.
You gotta ostrich yourself. Just stick your head in the hole.
Exactly. But then I realized, I was like, you know what, but in order for me, look, this is something that I want to do, it may not be like the first time I do it, it may not do well, but that's okay. Like, you're gonna try again until one day, like, you do it correctly, and then it's gonna pay off and it's something that you wanted to do. I say this because, like, right now I'm in my feelings because my first attempt of opening an open mic has failed, and so I'm like sad about it, but at the same time I'm like, it's okay, because like I learned a lot from it, and so I have a lot of knowledge for when I try again, because I will try again.
Everybody has those little bumps.
Yeah.
Everybody, but see, that's the thing. It's good, because what makes you different from the other people is that you're not gonna give up. Usually, people hit that wall because it ain't successful the first time, and they just give up. And it's like, nah, you can't just give up immediately.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I ain't gonna lie. there was a time where it was like, you know, because I, after everything kind of fell apart, I was like, oh, then I need to like just step back for a while and not do it. Blah. But then people, of course, will like catch you being stupid. You're being dramatic. Like, calm down. Like,
that's what your friends are for.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Bring you back to level one.
Shout out to Camille. Shout out to Camille. I appreciate her greatly, because she's always the one that's like, girl. You're fine. But also, random. So Yvonne Orji, she just came out with a book today called Bamboozled by Jesus.
And oh, I started, wow.
Yeah, I just started reading it. Lying. I just started listening. I just started listening
audiobooks.
To it on Audible. But like, she was basically saying the same thing. She was like, the first thing you guys got to do is show up before, because like, I mean, you can think about all the setbacks you have, like, you're not as skilled as the next person, or you don't have as many minutes as the next person. But like she was talking about her insecure journey, like when she was trying out for it, she was like, she got the job, but afterwards, like, the producers or the casting director was saying, like, no shade, but the first time, like, because she went through five rounds of auditions.
Jesus.
And then the first time, they're like, no shade, we had someone that we were like, oh, no, that's who we're getting. And you were kind of like an afterthought. But as the auditions came along, you got better. The other girl just stayed the same. And so we picked you, because we just knew if this is what you can do with no experience.
Hence the five rounds.
Yeah.
Weed out the bad. Aha.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, she thought, like, she didn't have a chance because, like, she didn't have any experience. But she just showed up and she tried. And so you never know. You just never know.
Yeah.
And so it was, and that's what I listened to this morning. So that's, like, been my inspiration. Be like, yeah, don't give up. You never
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely, because yeah. I've there's so many ideas that I have in my head that like go by the wayside, but the ones that haven't, I'm like, hey, I'm still doing it. Oh,
yeah.
Look at that, because I didn't give up. Look at you, Kyle.
Yes.
Look at you, nigga. You ain't give up. You fucking, you stuck with it. You kept going. It made you feel good. Because one, like, few things do pop after a while.
Yes.
Once you start doing it, it's like, and so you realize, like, this is, people realize, oh, this is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what I've came to the realization of. It's like, I mean, just put out what you like and your content, and then people. Oh no, it's fine.
Okay.
And then people will basically gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
You know, other people will tell other people. You know, I was one of the poems like tell somebody that told somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Tell somebody to tell somebody. That's what gets us to these dances. You know.
Yeah.
Because I mean, word of mouth is what really helps.
Oh yeah.
Because like not everybody is. Socially savvy when it comes to the interwebs. Oh, and also what I've wanted to mention,
yeah,
because I have this problem. Just for other people that also have a problem, I am terrible at reading. Not meaning that I can't read. I read really well. I actually had hooked on phonics. My people gave me hooked on phonics because they thought that would help.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm just terrible at reading comprehension.
Oh, yeah.
If I read to myself, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. I'm not able to comprehend shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody reads it to me, it's basically a whole movie in my head. And then that's. With my mind and how I think about things, it's easier for me to retain information that way instead of me trying to read it.
You speak so much. Okay, it's so interesting because, like, I learned that through the pandemic about myself. And that's why right now I'm in grad school to get my master's in education.
Uh-oh. Whoop, whoop.
And the only I've never been a good student. But the reason right now, because I have a 4.0, because
that is,
I found out how to translate all my journal articles and my readings to Audible.
Oh.
And then I can
audio.
Hear it.
Yeah.
Hear it. And literally, in order for me to retain the information, I load everything and I go out on a walk and listen to it. And then I come back and then I listen to it one more time.
Yeah.
And then I write out whatever I need to write out. And that's been game changing for me.
Yeah.
Because like back in the day, like when I first went to college, freshman year, when I was in college and undergrad, like I barely scraped by, partly because I could not sit and read a book order to comprehend information.
Can't do it.
It doesn't work for me.
No.
And then, like, the thing is, I used to feel like that makes me not a scholar, if you will. Someone who can be, you know, an intellect, just because I can't read it off the page and it really retain the information.
Yeah.
But I just realized, like, I learn different. And the thing is, I feel like schools in general, especially in the United States, it does not honor, like, diverse learners.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fact that we can listen to it audibly and then retain those information, I mean, it's the same thing as someone reading it from a book. It
right.
doesn't matter how you get it, so long as you get it, you
right.
know? And I'm just realizing that, and I'm sad that I didn't know that when I was younger.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but I now know, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did well in school. Like, I graduated 3.5 average, and I didn't even try after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, if I were able to work, even thinking of like having things like audibly read to me,
uh-huh.
like things would be a lot easier.
Yeah, skies would be a limit.
Oh,
yeah.
But yeah, that, now realizing it now,
uh-huh.
and then being a comic and noticing how I retain information now for the things that I actually have to recite verbatim, like for my poetry and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh. If it's in my head as a little story, because everything that I write, it's basically like a movie in my head. So the words go to the pictures.
Yeah.
And the best way I can actually recite something is just by looking at it and just playing it back in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only reason that's easy for me to retain that way.
Mm-hmm.
But reading it from like somebody else's writing or somebody else's wording, if I don't continually go over it in my head and make it my own, it would be very difficult to like retain it. And I'll be just like, I'm just reciting words. I don't really know what this is. I don't know what the hell until I make it myself, and that's when it finally flips, and that's when I'm able to actually get into it. But like I always thought, I'm like, because I was always terrible at school just because I didn't care for school at all. School wasn't my thing. Dropped out of college. I was like, I don't want this. I don't want this shit anymore. Because retaining information that I didn't care for.
Yes. That I you're didn't, like, when am I going to use this again?
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't make sense to me. And I'm like, I'm just wasting somebody else's money. Because, like, I'm not paying for this shit. So,
I unfortunately did.
And to be able, to actually, like, retain the information and the knowledge that I want to now, thinking that I had problems with retaining information as a child. Like, why is that? It's because I didn't give a fuck. I give a fuck about this.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like, oh, all right, if I could have like applied this to life back then, like maybe if you look at it this way and give a fuck about it, maybe it'll be something that I would be interested in and actually, you know, giving maybe 75% instead of fucking 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the same thing with me. Like, yeah, like in high school, because, you know, I grew up with Nigerian parents.
Mm.
So the expectation was, you're going to become a doctor.
Yeah,
that's all you got. And the thing is, unfortunately, I didn't, like, that was not a desire of mine. And, like, everything I wanted to do was, like, shut down. It's like, because I remember when I was a kid, I was like, I was like, I just want to make movies. Like, and then that's what I told my teacher. My teacher was a hater, and told my parents during a parent-teacher conference. I got popped so hard.
That you wanted to make movies?
Yes.
That was your childhood dream? That's what it was. Still your childhood dream?
No, it's still my dream. Like, honestly, my dream. Uh-huh. Like, if, like, ultimately, like, the thing that I ultimately want to do is I want to make direct, like, not Disney Channel movies, but Disney Channel like movies, like, you know, those pop.
What up, folks? We got ads. Today's episode is brought to you by Amio. Amio is a travel booking platform that makes planning a journey in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Amio will magically give you all the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. It's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. Best of all, using Amio saves you time and money. That's a win-win in our books. Amio wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. Just head to Amio.com and use the code LISTENER5 at checkout. Valid until the 30th of June for new users on all modes of transport. It's just a pick-me-up 2021 needs. Amio. Plan, book, and love the journey. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, the only reason why I was on basketball was because literally freshman year at high school, I took a shortcut through the gym to get to a bathroom. So I enter into the gym, and when I exit out, I had a piece of paper in my hand that says, "Congratulations, you made the basketball team. Sign this to join training camp."
What? You just walked through the gym?
Yes, I just walked through the gym. Because, like, the coach, they saw how tall I was. Yeah. They're like, okay, yes. You and then that, God bless them, because then they saw me handle the ball, and they were like, oh, no. Because I didn't know what I was doing. But they trained me up.
Oh, you was really going to the bathroom that day?
Yeah, they were like, you were serious. Legit.
Thought you was coming to sign up.
No, sure wasn't. But, like, I mean, they eventually, like, I got to become a basketball player, and I enjoyed being around my friends and stuff, because that was, like, the only type of social life outlet I had. So in order for me to maintain that, I needed to pass my classes. And that's the only reason why I gave a crap about my classes in high school.
Yeah.
So I can play basketball. That's it.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't even want to play basketball. Because when I graduated, there was the, like, oh, do you want to play college? And I was like, no.
I just did this to hang with my friends.
I'm like, I'm going to be away from my parents. I'm going to get to have a social life.
Yeah. See, that's crazy that you say that, because I, myself, life would have probably been so different if I'd have got to do what I envisioned on doing.
What?
I wanted to play football.
Okay.
Yeah. But my grades was terrible. Oh. My dad was like, nah, out of here. My dad, my parents were strict. Like, the be in when the street light's on. Mm-hmm. You can ask to go in somebody's house. You can't go to the corner, you know. I don't care how old you is. Street lights come on, be your ass inside. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. So strict parents. And my dad was like, oh, no. You know, I told my dad, and it was, you know, I've always been small. So it's always difficult for me to make certain teams just because of my stature.
Right.
And I actually made the varsity team at high school. And I was like, oh, shit, I made the team. Yeah. Not everybody small makes the team.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And I felt excited about that. I went home, and I told my dad. I was like, Daddy, I made a team, man. Everybody make the team. I'm on the team. He was like, are you going to be playing? I was like, man, I don't know. Probably not. But still, I'm on the team. Right, exactly. And he was like, with them grades, like, I was like, nah, you know, right here, I mean, I could pick that up, though. You know, it's low right now, but I could pick it up. And he was like, yeah, nah, yeah. Tell your coach you ain't playing. I was like, what?
What? Your parents did
oh, straight team. Up. Straight up.
Oh, my God, it's so
straight
funny.
Straight up. Oh.
Because I got a good story for you, Ben.
Okay.
I feel like we need to talk more often. Yeah. I just feel like we're so parallel on things.
Yeah. it was devastating. Like, I was like, but I made the, like, not everybody my size makes the team, mm-hmm. Daddy. Like, I don't care.
So
bring that. Your grades are terrible. I told you. Your grades are terrible off the team. And I was like, what? So the only thing I wound up doing, as soon as I told my coach, I was like, I had to give him the fucking equipment and shit back.
That's so heartbreaking.
Thanks. Thanks, coach. Thanks for the opportunity. I got to get off the team. It's like, what happened, man? I sure could have used you out there. Don't buck me up, coach, right now. Not right now. Not right now. I feel terrible. Yeah. My grades are bad. What you got, fucking Fs? I was like, I got Cs and Ds. What? Yeah, just... Dad's in the military, man. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So you never got to be on the team?
Fuck no. Never played football ever.
Oh, my God.
You know what I did? I became a cheerleader.
Oh, see? That's so funny. This is so weird. Guess what happened to me?
What?
Because, you know, my whole desire in life, since I was born in England, I watched Saved by the Bell. I wanted to be a cheerleader so bad.
Oh.
That was like my I was like, I want pom-poms in my life. This is what I want to do. So when my parents told me at 11 years old, we're moving to the United States, I was like, bet. That means I'm becoming a cheerleader. This is happening, right?
Didn't I have cheerleading in England?
No.
What?
No.
What?
No. No. I mean, they probably have it now, but back then it wasn't, you know, kids don't, it's not like, oh, you have a cheer team. Nah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because I get to middle school, listen, and I was like, I'm ready. I was training. Listen, I was training. You couldn't tell me nothing. I was in my balcony in mm-hmm. when we first moved. And
before you moved or after you moved?
After we moved to the United States.
Yeah.
Like, I moved too late to try out that year.
Yeah.
So I waited that whole year. I was watching what the cheerleaders did. I was like, bet I got this. I'm in my balcony, like, legit training myself, high kicking the hell out of myself, toe touching. I said, like, they are not gonna turn me down. Oh no, I'm about to do this.
I got to keep on moving.
Right. And so finally, and by mind you, you need to know it this time, because, you know, usually cheerleaders are popular kids.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know it this time. Like, I was not making a great debut at my middle school, because I was, you know, the 6 foot African kid with an English accent. They were like,
No,
what we're not gonna
That's
do
a
here.
A lot to deal with.
It was a lot to deal with, but I'll never forget. It's finally time for tryouts. And I was like, what's not going to happen is me not making that team. That ain't going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So I also need to let you know, this is puberty time, but I didn't realize that I was maturing. So I was not wearing a bra yet.
Oh.
This is going to make sense a little later. So, like, you know, like mature tryouts, you know how you have the... you know, like, they call you, and then, like, they were like, you do a spirit run, like,
yeah.
When you go, woo, take
it
to the top.
Come on, bring up the energy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I know I got skills on all these hoes. Yeah. So let me come through. I'm about to do my round up. I'm gonna go into a split, and then I'm gonna hop on up and just be like,
come on.
That I was ready. So why is it? I come through, I got a little too excited, got a little too overpowered. Also, I didn't tuck my shirt in, and I came in to do that round off, and my shirt flew all the way up.
Oh, no.
Mind you, puberty.
Yeah.
I'm still bra free. And back in the day, like, tryouts was open to everyone. Everyone in the school would come and watch.
No.
So basically, I flashed the whole entire school during the trials. And I also had fell. Like, I tipple tumbled. So basically, my shirt flew up. And so I lay on the ground.
Boom. Shirt up.
Showing just, all my goodies.
I'm stuck.
Yes. Showing all my goodies. So anyway, with all that being said, I made the team.
She's got panache. I like her. Get on the team.
But my parents, like, they took one look at those uniforms and they're like, you ain't cheering.
Oh, no.
And I was like, were you serious? And I'm like, no. Because they're like, first of all, we're not paying for you to look like a whore. You know? So, yeah.
Scantily. No, thank you.
No, thank you. So, yeah, I didn't get to be on the cheer squad and it broke my heart. I was like, were you serious? They said I made the team. And then my dad, because I remember, like, I didn't tell them I wasn't going to, I didn't tell the coach. I didn't tell the coach that my dad said I couldn't be on the team. Why was it? There was a garage sale to raise money for uniforms on a Saturday. And I was like trying to go. And then my parents were like, oh, no, you can't go. My dad drove to that garage sale in front of the whole entire, like,
oh no,
and he was like, my daughter will be on.
Oh no.
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's putting a staple in. I can't even sneak and do this now. Yes. What the f- I am so sorry.
It's so funny. Like, so you wanted to do, like, sports, like, you know, football, and instead your outlet was cheerleading. I wanted to do cheerleading, and then instead my outlet was basketball, you know, sports.
That's so crazy. That's like the yin and the yang.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
That's funny.
Yeah. When I wound up going to college, I wound up playing rugby. And everybody's like, how you go from fucking cheerleading to rugby? I was like, well, I didn't get to play football.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I grow my hair out is because my dad wouldn't let me do it. Mm. So this is a rebellion right here.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, yeah. I'm in my rebellious stage.
Yeah.
Even I'm almost 40.
Yeah. Fucking 36 years old and I'm rebelling.
Yes.
Now.
And my mom's like, you just do this on purpose because you just want to stress this out. I'm like, no. Because, like, I mean, look, when I look at myself, I feel like a parent should be lucky to have me. But my parents are just like, no. Like, this is not okay. You, with your teacher self, because, like, my whole entire family, they're all in the medical field. Like, you know, my dad's a doctor, my mom's a nurse practitioner, and she owns her own home health business.
Oh, my God.
My oldest sister, she's a nurse practitioner. My older brother is a pharmacist.
Oh,
other sister is a forensic psychologist. And my younger sister is currently in pharmacy school in England. And then there's me, the left-handed teacher.
You're the only lefty?
Yeah, I'm a lefty.
And you're a lefty, and you're a comic.
Yes.
This is a hint why you're a comic.
Yeah.
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 It fits perfectly.
Yeah. It is. And then, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
My parents are so like, how did this happen? Where did we go wrong?
We should have gave you the big glass of milk.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Exactly, basically.
Damn it. Yeah. Oh, man. That's something else.
It is.
Everybody in the family, except for you.
Yeah.
You was like, I don't want to do that. You're just like.
Yeah. No, it's because, like, when I went to college, like, I was pre-pharmacy. And, like, I was not for it. Like, I couldn't do biology. Like, I remember being in the library, sitting, like, intentionally trying to study, and I could not retain the information for the life of me. Like, I would sit at the book, look at it for hours and hours on end, and it didn't make sense to me. Probably because I didn't care, you know? It's not something that was interesting to me.
Yeah.
And then, like, I guess I wasn't putting, like, subconsciously, I wasn't putting my whole heart into it.
Yeah.
And on top of that, like, now knowing my learning style, like, I learned hearing it. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, I dread going back to any type of learning situation. Because once I got out of school, I did 4 years of electrical. So I went to electrical school for 4 years after that. And I was like, all right, I'm done with this learning shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to learn anything else after that. But then I also tried to pick up the bass, and I'm like, all right, here we go again. And so I just put things to the side for now, and I'm on the path of just trying to create and be more productive with my creativity.
Right.
So instead of, you know, just letting all the shit that I paid for go to waste, like, let's start utilizing more of it now. And hey, I do it, and I look at the things that I accomplish, and I'm like, this looks like trash. Ah, throw it away.
Oh no.
I don't, until I show somebody else.
And they're like, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, are you sure? And mm-hmm. It takes me a long time to like what I do. And it's so hard to get past that as being somebody that's creative. And I know you have, how difficult is it for you to make decision on things being left-handed? Do you have difficulties making decisions?
Just in general, like in life, or you know what, you're right. Yes, you know why? Because like for me personally, I take on too many projects at one time, and I don't know how to concentrate on one thing.
Yeah,
and like one thing I wish for myself. No, I don't wish it, because I mean I like the creative outlets I have, but sometimes I think I do too. You know, like I'm a full-time teacher,
mm-hmm.
currently in grad school.
Mm-hmm.
I also photograph as much as I can.
Yes.
And then do comedy as much as I can, while also trying to break into like the theater realm. And I feel like I'm stretched in different places. And sometimes I envy people that have like one thing that they do, and they just work on that one thing and working on doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like if I just pick one and just focus on it, then I'll become, you know, amazing at it. And that's like a skill I have. But at the same time, I don't want to give up the things that I like doing, because I like photographing things. I like teaching for now.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, and I love comedy. I wouldn't want to, like, I guess, I wouldn't want to, like, give up one to make more space for another.
Yeah. Why would you feel as if you have to give one up?
Because, like, there's not enough time in a day. Like, to get really, I guess, I don't have to.
But there's enough days in the week.
You're right. It's my pessimistic brain, if you will. Because, like, I feel like, oh, you know, if you just spend, like, okay, this is going on to another territory. But, like, mm-hmm. I think about, like, for example, when I first came here, because I came to New Orleans initially because I was going through Teach for America. Please don't hate me. And so, like, the whole thing was, like, if you want to be a competent teacher, then you have to live, breathe, and eat teaching. That was the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
It's a very unhealthy, like, my personal opinion, like, especially New Orleans, like, teaching is a very unhealthy work environment, because mm-hmm. they expect way too much for you, and, like, you don't have enough time to. And then, like, one reason why I don't think I'm, like, this, like, superstar teacher that people want me to be is because, like, I push back on that, because I, like, I want to do, like, first off, I want to be able to do the open mics. Yeah. I want a life where I can, like, photograph stuff.
Yeah.
And then back then, when I first moved here, I was in a dance crew. And I was living out my little pom-pom fantasy. Like, because it was called the NOLA Bombshells. And then
yeah.
they dance with pom-poms yeah. and stuff. Yeah, I was living out my little pom-pom fantasy, my cheerleading fantasy. I was like, I want to do all those things. And I'm trying to figure out, it's like, do I just get really good at one thing, or just...
When you get good at something, you get good at it. Because you are sticking those pom-pom moves. I'm like, oh, she's tight. She's tight. I know about motions. My motions were clean. And I see you up there. I'm like, oh, she got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I critique the shit out of it. I'm like, I see you. All right. All right, with the palms, with the straight motions, and the arms down with the angles. Oh.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, like I said before, I just want to be able to have, like, I don't know. I think too hard about having my like, I guess, skill set spread in too many places.
Mm.
Like, I guess my creative like, brain juice all over the place.
Yeah, I've had to calm that down as well, because I pick up so many things. I'm like, yo, Kamar, I'm doing this now. He's like, all right, Kyle. And I'm like, yo, I got something new that I'm doing now. He's like, all right, I'm going to send you something. And he sends it. And I send it to him. He's like, you sure this is what you want to do? And I'm like, maybe. Maybe I want to do it.
So, what do you want to do? What is, like, one thing you're just like, or the things that you're like, this is the stuff that I really want to do?
What I'm doing a lot of is I'm doing a lot of poetry and filming them.
Yes.
I'm filming that. I'm mixing and mastering my poems that I have.
Okay.
So I can use them for videos that I can make.
Yes.
So that's what's happening. I was trying to write short stories.
Okay.
And read them off like LeVar Burton.
Okay.
And like LeVar Burton reads, but I let Kamari read the short stories, and he's like, "Kylish, this is just you ranting." And I'm like, "Shit, yeah, it is." And I'm like, "Alright," but he's like, "But no, it's you though. Like, this is your shit. So, like, you know, keep it up. Just, you know, it's not. And to me, for somebody that reads, it's not a short story.
Oh,
but so I'm like, ah, fuck. All right, yeah. And then also." I also picked up crocheting.
Oh! What'd you crochet?
Like, I crocheted a doll.
You did?
Yeah. I've been crocheting dolls and shit. I didn't bring it with me because I was like, nah, I'm going to be doing other shit. And also, that's one of the things where if I it's going to take up a lot of my life if I get into it, because that's something I like the tedious shit. I like things that are tedious, and I like to twiddle with things with my fingers. I almost started whittling at one point, and I was like, I can't, not at this time. So, like, when I get older, these are big things that I do. But like, I picked it up, and then as soon as I picked it up, I told my mom that this is what I'm doing, and it was around my birthday, and she was like, I got you, baby, don't worry. And she sent me so much shit. And I'm like, oh fuck, I got books on books on fucking yarn. And I'm like, all right, this is what I do now. So eventually I'm gonna start crocheting dolls and selling them on like shows when they get bigger.
Oh yeah, can you make yourself a Kyle doll?
I'm in the process of getting better at these dolls, so I can set them up to where it's just like, but yeah, good shit.
Yeah, good shit.
I can't wait. But it's just all in my head. I'm like, okay, I can't do this just yet.
Yeah.
I can't do this just yet. Just calm down. Focus on this right now. And then, you know, when things start to open back up again, then, you know, once you get more people on your side to help you out, because it's difficult doing shit by myself. And it's like, alright.
We need to also understand, as humans, like, we need each other in order for us to enhance ourselves. Like, as in, like, I feel like with the COVID, it made me realize that we're such an individualistic society where we don't think about the well-being and catering to the people that are around us.
Yeah.
Hence, like, people, like, not wearing a mask when they needed to.
Right.
Because they're just like, what about me? I got to.
Like, it's not about you.
But, you know, I want to get back to, like, because, like, and also, like, this is something that I need to do. Like, I need to practice what I preach. Like, when I don't have everything I need to complete something or to attain a goal, just asking for help and being like,
yes,
okay, is there anyone? And there may be a possibility that people may not have things for us.
No. That's like, the difficult portion.
But the thing is, it's okay. Like, at least you asked and seen if there were resources. But I feel like we've gotten to the point where we assume that everybody has to get it done by themselves in order to be successful.
Yeah. And I've noticed more and more now that the more I look at people, the more people talk, especially the podcast I listen to, I'm like, oh, y'all ain't doing this by yourself.
They're not.
No, you got a whole team.
They do.
And the whole team is like everybody's so in cahoots and like everybody's so knit tight that things run smoothly to where, I mean, I'm pretty sure people butt heads, but you don't see the dynamic on the show.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's what I need, because me by myself trying to do this one man thing, I just recently put a poem together that I had to operate the green screen, I had to operate the camera, fucking the lighting and all that. I got a whole green screen equipment and everything to where I got lighting and all that. And I had to set that up. I had to Google how to fucking work the green screen.
Yeah.
Not saying that it was difficult, but there's certain lighting that you need.
You need to do that. Yeah.
And I was like,
like, the green screen and yourself. Yes.
Right, exactly. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So then I had to look at that aspect and then getting a wide green screen so I can get certain effects and all that. And I'm like, man, and then putting that together, then also editing. And then on top of editing, I like to put the subtitles, doing the own subtitles on it. And then it's like, all right, nigga, you gonna do 3 or 4 of these?
Yes.
Like, you motherfucker.
It's a lot.
It's so much.
So finding that team.
It's so much.
It's essential. It's essential finding that team for sure. But it will come one day.
Yeah.
I know it was a lot easier when you were here.
Yes, so much easier because things are so much closer and people are more willing to help.
Oh, yeah, that too.
People are more willing to help down here, out there. It's just like, yeah, help. You can do this for me. It's like, well, hold on, son. I just...
Yeah.
All right, can we do this first? Because since I asked, I came to you and asked for, can we get this out the way first? And then do it? All right, what you got? Let's do what you got to do. Yeah. Then we can hop on to my stuff. And when it comes to my stuff, it's like, hey, I gotta do this.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm gonna get back at you, though. It's like, oh, thanks. Thanks, I'll get it by myself. Don't worry about it.
Just move back to New Orleans. What are you doing?
Well, I got a house. Me and my brother got a house.
You have
in Texas.
A house?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, I was like, hold on. Cause like fucking Drex Clemens, doing my homie that I recently talked to that moved to New York.
Yeah.
He almost got me to move out to New York. He was like, hey, so you're coming out here, right? I was like, me and my brother just got a house. I can't move yet.
Oh, man.
I can't move just yet.
No.
But there's good opportunities out there in New Orleans, and I mean out there in Texas.
Yeah.
And
at least you're by a very established comedy club.
Yeah.
Which
I just wish that these motherfuckers would stop worrying about their ego so much and just look at the scene.
Okay.
See who does what instead of just worrying about who has how many likes and shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's like, very huge.
This is fucking me over.
I'm like,
yo, you know, I don't lie. I'm not a person to name drop. And there's a lot of people out there that do that. And it's like, you don't even deserve to be doing this.
Ooh.
And it fucks me over because, you know, I go to talk to certain people and, you know, I get no response, no answer. You know, people look at me like, nah, this is my shit, this is I shit.
Damn.
And it's like, but when I get shit, like, I'm a person that's like, oh, I'm not going to be like, oh, remember when you did this to me? Nah, I'm just fucking with you. Don't worry about it. Come on in. I don't do that shit.
Oh, see,
you know,
I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
She said, I'm not there yet.
Maybe one day, but I'm not there right now. I can already tell you. It's not like if something comes for me, there are some people I'm like, I can't have you in my vicinity.
Yeah.
Only because I'm just like, I'm trying to keep my aura clean.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. I definitely feel that. That is, when it comes to energy, that is definitely certain things that you need. Like, this motherfucker is just always going to, Kenny, the Kenny energy. The Kenny energy is like, I'm your friend, dude. Your energy just needs to fucking flip. And it's just like,
it's so funny.
Fuck.
You know what's so funny? You know what I love about Kenny?
Ah.
The fact that whenever he comes around, every single member in Young Funny has such an adverse reaction to it. I don't know if you guys, you can't see it, but we see it, and it's comical.
We never heard about this aspect from the outside, so please, please do continue.
No, every time I hear Kamari just mention Kenny's name, it's just so much irritation and disgust. Oh my goodness. And I never forget, oh my goodness, it was so funny. Last week, no, it wasn't last week. Kenny came here.
Yeah.
2 or 3 weeks ago. And
he's been telling me for the past 3 months, Kyle, you better be down there. It's like, son, what the fuck?
God bless him, because he came down. And first thing he did was, we were at a Howlin' Wolf. And then DC sees him. And DC's all like, same thing, adverse reaction. Oh, man, eat me go. And then I'm just like, well, you know, it's after the pandemic. You never know. You never know. Life can be still. Because, I mean, Kenny's always been nice to me. I just see him as, you know, like a cheerful guy. He doesn't seem to be bothered by too much. But the fact that you guys have such, I'm like, there's a history that I don't know, so I'm just going to leave it alone. But yeah, but the thing is, but the one thing he made a mistake in, and I was like, oh, I can't ride with this. Like, he misgendered Shep. Not just once, but several times.
Yeah, no, I've heard that. I heard this. And all the ignorance of this nigga.
And I was was like, oh no, Kenny, what are you doing? Yeah. Oh baby, what you doing?
It's either, my brother says he purposely does it, and I'm like, nah, I don't know. Because I don't think he sees, I don't think it registers in his head. He has Dunning-Kruger's. This is definitely what it is. That's his diagnosis.
It's what?
Dunning-Kruger's disease.
What's that?
It's like the Shallow Hal disease.
What's that?
Remember Shallow Hal? Hal, where like everybody saw one thing, but
he just didn't. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's just like, oh, you don't realize it. I'm pretty sure he's on the spectrum.
Oh this yeah, no, without a shadow.
This is a form of this is a form of autism because there was this slow gentleman at this comedy, at this poetry club, uh-huh. at this poetry place that I go to. And the whole time, like this girl, he goes up before Kenneth. And I'm like, don't say anything. Cause you know, the guy, he does his little fucking cover
yeah.
of a song. And then, but you know, as you see him, you know that he's slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, but he's still able to interact and anything. It's not the way he's like,
yeah. No,
you know, immobile. It's just like,
yeah. I know what you mean.
So I'm like, man, just go up and do your jokes.
Oh, did he just try to roast?
Oh, did he try to roast? There was no trying. He just automatically did. He just shitted on the man for no reason.
No.
And I was like, son, why do you do that? He was like, man, but you know that motherfucker looked dumb. I'm like, son, ain't nobody did you nothing.
Why?
Nigga didn't tell you shit. You was having a good time, son. Your set was doing well. You did good. You surprised the fuck out of me. Why did you just fucking deter from your set to shit on the slow man? Aww. What you doing? I was like, why, son? He was like, man, he had no answer for it.
Oh God, God bless it.
And like, so you, I don't know, I don't think you get it.
That's your friend.
I don't think you
That's
get
your
it.
Friend.
Yeah, I try.
Okay, but I just know there's a history there, and I'm like, one day I would like to know the full story. But the only thing I see is this happy man coming through, excited to see y'all, and everyone looking so mad.
Yeah, yeah, because. It's just wake and destruction behind him. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh. You can see, if you peek around his shoulder, you're like, nigga, is that hell behind you?
Oh, don't
what
are do you, that. Don't
what
do
What you bringing
like
with
that.
You? What is that? That's some shit that I don't want. Don't bring that around here. You're don't like, bring don't that around you. Here. Oh, you brought all of it around here. Motherfucker. It's always something dumb. And he would make you feel embarrassed about certain things. And it's like, I know, when he came out to L.A. to visit, and I was like, I know, I'm your friend, man. I'm gonna still be here for you. Just don't fuck over me and don't put me in stupid situations.
Yeah.
And immediately we get into a stupid situation.
Oh no.
And it's like, I know I'm gonna get put into a dumb situation. And I know I can avoid it by just not hanging out. But I don't think he got any other friends. So it's uh-huh. just like, all right. And I set myself up for failure as usual.
Oh. And why you say it like that?
Because we wind up getting into some shit. He comes out there and he swears he can get into the fucking chocolate factory. And he's like,
being a chocolate sundaes?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, nigga, you can't get into chocolate sundaes. There's always a line outside.
Yeah.
You ain't getting no tickets. I talked to somebody yesterday. Fuck you talked to yesterday. Who you talked to yesterday that you're going to be able to get into the chocolate sundaes today?
Oh, by the way, he's moving to LA.
He's there already.
Oh, he's yeah. Oh, that's right. He moved to LA.
Yeah.
He was like, he asked me to come down because he's got plans.
Yeah, he's always got plans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never anything when he has these plans. I mean, he can get shit going, but like I was just like, dude, this is...
He's going to have a chocolate sundaes upgraded. What would you do if he did? He got like something popping off real good.
Hey, to be honest with you, he's capable of doing shit like that.
Yeah.
Is it gonna be good? I doubt it.
Okay.
He's capable of popping shit off, which is weird. He had that spunk about him where he has a mouthpiece on him.
Yeah.
Which I give him that, but it's just like, ah.
One day we're gonna have to. I need to get the full story of why the adverse.
You definitely get your story. We can definitely get your story. Probably have to sit everybody down and just like let's just run it to you. It's just weird. And then especially if you get Byron's take on it.
What
Byron
does Byron
doesn't say
take?
Much. You know, he wouldn't have much to say.
He'd
but
be like, well?
He'd just be like
that is exactly how Byron would Byron laughs.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. Oh, but great, man. Thank you. This has been fun.
It's been fun chatting with you.
Yeah. This is a hell of a time. I know you got things to do.
I got a class that I have to be at in 5 minutes.
Yeah, we definitely got to go.
I don't know why I signed up for summer school. Tell me why. It's because I want to graduate on time.
Tell me why.
We're supposed to do a photo shoot.
I'll be here still.
When are you leaving?
I'll be leaving Wednesday.
Okay, so can we shoot tomorrow?
Yeah.
What time? Oh, wait. I have class at 5 again tomorrow.
At 5?
Yes.
You free before 5?
Yes and no. Because I have school until 4. I mean, I have work. My last day of work before summer. Mm-hmm. It's until 4 o'clock. So, what I would prefer is, because I know this class is probably going to take an hour, I would want to shoot at 6.
Okay.
That's okay. Can we shoot at 6?
Possibly. Yeah. I think we worked that out. Yeah.
Are you going to do any mics tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
No. Probably just be a rest day and leave and then get my stuff together. And
this
then
is so... Wait, why'd you have to buy a house in Houston? What the hell? What side of Houston are you in?
Spring. North Houston.
North Houston?
Yeah. Up where there are no buses or homeless folks.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm in Pearland. My sister's in Pearland.
Oh, okay.
So that's where I'm going to be this weekend because, you right. know, she's... there.
Cool.
I'm just saying, like, I miss seeing you here. That's all I'm gonna
say. Yeah, I know. I miss seeing everybody down here, and I'm like, man, every time I come down here, I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
I do love someone to come back. Oh, before we go, tell everybody where you can find you at.
You can find me on all social media platforms at Happy Black Chick. Yes. Like in the chick, like a chicken. And, yeah, so that is Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Can you find me on Facebook? It's Funny Catchy. You can find me on Funny Catchy on Facebook. But TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, that's Happy Black Chick.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, and if you want to see my photography, even though we didn't talk about it too much, you want to see my photography, my website is www.happyblackchickphotography.com.
There it is. Yeah. Plugs.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you all for listening. This has been Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream.
Yeah.
I've been your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. Until next time, everybody, keep dreaming, dreamers.
Bye.